Welcome to X Factor Thinking. In the next few minutes, you'll learn some simple ideas to instantly improve the performance and productivity of all your people. X Factor Thinking explains why some people get remarkable results and others fail miserably. X Factor Thinking works in any economy and for any organization. X Factor Thinking is simple to understand and easy to use. Best of all, X Factor Thinking works fast and can produce outstanding results in as little as 2 weeks or less. Here's Jamie Ford and Graham McGregor discussing X Factor Thinking and how to use it.
Hello, I'm Graham McGregor, and I'm in the studio today with Jamie Ford. Jamie Ford is a specialist in human resource development, and he works to unlock the potential of every organization's most valuable asset, its people. Jamie has worked in business and personal development for more than 20 years, and he teaches that the key to high performance is what he calls X Factor Thinking. So Jamie, before we get into X Factor Thinking, can you give our listeners a bit of information about your background?
In the 70s, Graham, I spent quite a number of years working full-time with the Salvation Army in various centres around New Zealand, and the last period of time was working in alcohol and drug rehabilitation here in Auckland. Then I went to work for Presbyterian Support Services for a period of time in the early 80s, and then moved into business and worked in the area of training and human resource development, human resource management. And I've worked in industries such as public health, pulp and paper, the dairy industry, transport and finance. I've also been my privilege, I guess, to work with a couple of multinational training organisations, and one of those, Learning International, is well known for its professional selling skills program, which is the world's largest professional sales training program. Then in the early 80s, I moved into, or set up my own business, and that's where the mental toughness and X Factor thinking really came into its own in the way that I've developed a program that's proved to be very, very effective.
Now people know a bit about what you've done. Tell us, what is X Factor thinking?
Well, X Factor thinking is really very simple, Graham, and the easiest way to understand it is to put all the people that you know into two groups. And it's a matter of thinking, well, if you've got one group of people who are doing better in life by whatever criteria you want to use, and another group who are not doing so well, then what's the real difference there? What's making the difference? Now, I ask this question to hundreds of business leaders every year. And you know what they tell me? They tell me that the people who do well, the people who are doing better, have a better attitude than those who don't do so well. And a key part of that attitude, if you like, the X factor, is what we call mental toughness. And that's the ability to bounce back fast when things don't go according to plan, when things go wrong. And mental toughness or mental resilience is what I call X factor thinking.
Jamie, has there been any sort of research, scientific research done on X factor thinking, this mental toughness or mental resilience?
Well, the great thing about this, Graham, is that there is a huge body of proper science underpinning all this. And many of our listeners might be familiar with the name of Professor Martin Seligman. And he's a leading expert in the area of motivation, and particularly in terms of this particular attitude. And the research has now been going on for something like 40 years. There's over 1,000 scientific studies that have been carried out. And in every case, it demonstrates that those with this X factor thinking are doing better. Now, that might be academic studies. That might be in sport. It could be in terms of people's health, their immune systems, the robustness of an immune system. It could be in terms of recovery from injuries. There's studies done with league players in that area. So right across the spectrum of human life, people with the X factor thinking are simply doing better than those who are not using X factor thinking, and that's a well-proven body of science. And again, as I say, the expert in this area is Professor Martin Seligman.
Can you just tell our listeners a little bit more about Professor Martin Seligman? He wrote that very interesting book, didn't he, called Learned Optimism?
That's right, Graham. He's well known worldwide for that particular book, and he really came to fame, more particularly to the notice of the academic and scientific community, through writing a book called Learned Helplessness, which demonstrated or talked about the research that had gone on for many years, trying to understand why is it that when adversity and setbacks occur, Why do some people thrive, and why are others crushed by those same sorts of adversities and setbacks? And what he was able to prove, and what he came to be highly regarded for, was demonstrating that that's not genetic. That's actually something that's accidentally learned, and then we live our lives according to that learning that takes place generally very early in our lives. And so that's really the body of work that he's done there, understanding this concept and demonstrating the concept of learned helplessness, and showing that that can be overcome, that new learning can take place, and people can switch from being pessimistic and negative to being very positive and optimistic, and that has a huge impact right across their lives.
Can you give our listeners perhaps a practical example of someone normal who is not using X-factor thinking, and perhaps someone who is using X-factor thinking? Like, what's the actual difference? So let's say something bad happens to me, I'm in business, perhaps I'm in the sales field, I'm responsible for generating revenues. How would a person with X-factor thinking treat perhaps something bad happening, and how would a normal person treat it?
Well, sales is a very good example, Graham, and what would be happening is there was someone who hasn't got the X-factor thinking. When things go wrong, it might be quite early in the day, there's someone that they anticipated putting a deal together with, and for whatever reason, that doesn't happen, and they will begin thinking to themselves, oh, things always go wrong, and nothing's going to work out today, and I don't seem to be able to make these deals stick together. And so they get quite down in the dumps, and that affects them when they go to meet with their next prospect or client or whatever the next activity is. It's already starting to have an effect, and it's kind of sticking to them, where the person is using the X-factor thinking is saying to themselves quite clearly, oh, well, that's only this particular person or this client at this particular point in time. So they make it a very temporary kind of situation, and they isolate it. They treat it as a very, very isolated event, and they will be introducing a whole range of factors into the reasons why it happened, as well as perhaps the part that they played in that. They don't beat themselves up about it, but they will just be able to move, let it slide off and move on, and be ready to meet with the next situation with all their professionalism on tap and able to do an outstanding job.
We'll actually come back to that in a moment. I want to see if perhaps I can't get you to give us a couple of examples of how you've introduced X-factor thinking perhaps into some sales organisations and the results that actually had on their sales performance and profits. But just before we do that, I understand you do a lot of work around mental toughness and mental resilience with sports teams, particularly well-known sports teams. Can you give us an example of that?
In 2007, the Canterbury Rugby Football Union began investigations to find out if there was really any substance to what we offer. And in 2008, after a long period of investigation, they implemented a program that we were engaged to deliver, and that was implemented firstly with the Crusaders. It's now 2009, and the NPC and New Zealand Cup is underway. And listeners may remember that at the start of the season, Canterbury were playing North Harbour at North Harbour, and Canterbury lost. Now, what they were able to do by applying what they'd learned was simply brush that aside. They treated it as if they were Teflon-coated, and it had no major impact on them losing that. They were able to refocus quickly and get on with their intentions of winning the title. And as we know now, here we are towards the end of September, and they're at the top of the table. So they've pushed that aside very easily, and that's a result of that X-factor resilient thinking.
I guess today, with the economy being a lot tougher than it was perhaps a few years ago, mental toughness is now a lot more important, particularly in sales organisations. We're trying to make every dollar we can in all our businesses. Can you give me perhaps a couple of examples of organisations that you work with in the sales organisations where you've actually introduced mental toughness, shown them how to bounce back from adversity? What happened? How did it work? Give us a couple of examples.
Well, we have a program around this X-factor thinking, Graham, and it's a very valuable program for sales teams. And we worked with a national publishing company that sold advertising and put them through the program. It went really, really well. They were enthusiastic about it, and they got stuck into applying the learning. And within 6 weeks, the sales team were 15% ahead of their budget. And the owner of the company called the general manager and the national sales manager and said, well, I don't accept these figures. I've never seen anything like this kind of improvement in my 28 years of owning the business. Your computer program must have got a glitch in it, and that's why we're seeing these figures. You'll have to do it all manually. So they put a day into going through the figures manually, and then went back and said, no, these actually are the figures. And they proceeded from there. The growth continued, the increase in sales over budget. And they ended the year $1 million over budget, was an outstanding example of how this X-factor thinking can turn results around and sales teams can achieve dramatic results. With another organisation that we've worked with, it's an internationally known office equipment company. They'd been behind budget for many, many periods of time, not performing, and it wasn't looking good. And after the training, within the first month, they had actually achieved budget, and there was big celebrations around the country because that was something that had been seen that perhaps they weren't able to achieve. But with the X-factor thinking, they were able to go out and achieve that without too much difficulty at all.
Fantastic. So what sort of specific advice would you give to people who want, you know, their team, people in their organisation, to develop X-factor thinking? What would you tell them?
Well, I'd tell them that, firstly, this is something that can be learned. It's quite pliable. It's a bit like blue tack. You can mould it and shape it. It's plastic. It's not fixed. It's not part of your genetic code. It's just something that's accidentally learned. And we have tools also for testing it and identifying if a person that you're wanting to bring into your team has this X-factor thinking, and that's been used, the test that's used right around the world. In fact, we're talking with a South African organisation at the moment that wants to introduce that testing. And of course, then there's a huge cost to replacing people. In many instances, it's valuable to train the people who you have in your team already, but who don't have that X-factor thinking, and we can use the test to identify that. In the MetLife insurance company in the States, they found that they were accidentally rejecting people who had the X-factor, and when they employed them, they found that they were able to outsell the people they were recruiting by their normal methods by something like 88%, and that's a phenomenal difference.
Well, that's a phenomenal difference, 88%. You tell me they're actually normally accidentally rejecting some of these superstars, if you like, and give me a specific example of that. That's really interesting.
Well, I guess that Robert Dell is probably a really, really good example of someone who was involved in this experiment, this proper scientific study that went on for 5 years at MetLife. And after 3 years, Professor Seligman said to MetLife, well, I think we've actually cracked this. We've found the thing that you're not actually focusing on in your recruitment process. You're not actually assessing and recruiting people for the thing that really matters. And we now have a way to assess that. And so they began another experiment that went on for 2 years, and they did a big recruiting drive. And all they did was use the test that Professor Seligman devised. Now, one of the people who was found in that test to have the X factor was a guy called Robert Dell. And he's an interesting character because he'd been working in a freezing works for over 20 years, and his job had been made redundant. And so he was looking for work and applied for this job at MetLife. Now, I want to suggest that there wouldn't be many sales managers in our country who will be heading down to the freezing works after this, after listening to this, to find their next top salesperson. But the fact of the matter is that that's what actually occurred. And there are many people out there who have the X factor, but who might be rejected for all kinds of reasons that don't actually really matter. Now, Robert Dell, he was involved in a big key man insurance sale, and he lost the sale. And it was millions of dollars of premiums and a few million in commission to himself. But the day he lost the sale, he rang up Professor Seligman and had a discussion with him about Professor Seligman's role in this whole body of scientific work at MetLife. And in the course of that, he managed to persuade Professor Seligman that Professor Seligman should take out some more insurance. And he took out that insurance with Robert Dell. And that's a great example of X-factor thinking. A huge loss, a huge setback, a huge detrimental thing that occurred to him. And yet Robert Dell was able to pick himself up really, really fast, get into some creative thinking. How do I get involved in this? Oh, it's that Professor Seligman. Well, he's like everybody else. He needs insurance. I'll get on the phone and give him a call today. And it was successful. And that's the great thing about X-factor thinking, being able to put failures and setbacks behind really, really fast.
And Robert Dell, I think you mentioned, was or was one of the superstars of selling for MetLife?
That's correct. He was one of the people in that group who demonstrated that they could outsell the people they were recruiting by their normal methods. They could outsell them by 88%. And that's a phenomenal thing. And I mean, effectively, MetLife were handicapping themselves by rejecting people, accidentally rejecting people, because they weren't assessing the thing that really matters. So all around the country, if you like, there are people with the X factor, but you don't know if you're recruiting eagles and turkeys until you put them to work, or you use the test that Professor Seligman devised, and that's being used in all kinds of organisations now. We're working with one of the major banks here in New Zealand that makes use of it because they understand the value.
Okay, so what you're saying here, basically, there's two things that our listeners can take away from this. First of all, you can actually test and identify people that have X-factor thinking.
Absolutely, yes. It's well proven, and it's got the credibility of Professor Seligman behind it.
And also, for people that don't have X-factor thinking, you're actually saying it can actually be learned and taught to these people so they can use it then to improve their performance.
Oh, yes. It's not something that's fixed like IQ. It's not part of a person's genetic code. It's something that's learned, and because it's either learned or not learned early in life, we know that with the proper training programs and with expert guidance, people can actually learn this, and that's available in a variety of ways. There are public courses, two-day courses, and they're available through the University of Auckland Mental Toughness course, the Australian Institute of Management Resilient course in Sydney, and we do a large number of in-house courses and tailored presentations for organisations here in New Zealand, Australia and other countries. And we also offer personal development programs. So there are quite a number of large companies here in New Zealand that engage us to provide personal development programs for a wide range of their people, from executives through to supervisory level. And we're taking them through a process on an individual basis whereby they're acquiring these skills, which are lifelong skills, and they're sticky because they work naturally with the way the mind likes to work, and they have immediate application. People don't have to wait for some time before it all starts working. It's immediate, Graham.
So, and of course, you can also offer the X factor testing as part of what you do as well.
Everybody coming into one of our training programs, whether that's a public course that's available, as I've said, through the University or the Institute of Management in Australia, who's coming into an in-house course, yes, they will be doing that test as part of that process, and they will get their own profile report when they're on the program. And then they will see what the opportunity is, what the potential is there for them to make some significant gains and make improvement, because it will show to them clearly the result of that accidental learning that takes place in early life and what those changes can be and how useful those changes would be.
Jamie, tell me, what's one of the most satisfying parts of, if you like, of teaching mental toughness or X-factor thinking to people?
Well, I think the most satisfying part is seeing the dramatic change that takes place in people, even in the space of a couple of days. And recently, there was some quite dramatic examples of people even on the first night going home and utilising some of the learning and applying it, and significant changes taking place in their own home environment and with their families. Another one that springs to mind is an occasion when I met with a sales manager of a nationwide company. She was waving a letter in her hand and saying, "I've got something unpleasant to do today." And I said, "What's that?" She said, "Well, I'm sacking this guy today. This is his final notice." So we got into a discussion about it and about the recruitment process and how they assessed attitudes, etc. And she agreed that they hadn't really anything like that in their methodologies. And so I suggested that for a few dollars it might be well worth testing. And sure enough, the test showed that there was a gap there, some potential for learning with this particular person. So we sat around the table with that individual, talked about it, debriefed the report, and the firm offered a personal development program if this individual would agree to and commit to the requirements. Well, he was very, very keen because he was saying, "Well, I want to succeed and I don't know what's going wrong." Well, within about 4 months, he was number three on the ladder, and I think after 6 months, he was number one on the ladder, and for a long period of time before there was a major restructure, he was either in the top of the ladder or he was number two on that ladder. Another example that I think will interest listeners is a marketing manager where the division had not been performing particularly well. The marketing manager had control of the sales people as well. The performance wasn't particularly good. And at the behest of the chief executive, the marketing manager engaged in a personal development program. And within a short space of time, things were being turned around. And in a conversation with the CEO sometime later, I asked him, "Well, what did you think was the value of the intervention of that marketing manager going on a personal development program?" And he said it would have been at least a 40% improvement. And that was phenomenal. One of the outcomes of that, too, was that the marketing manager wished to relocate to Christchurch, and the firm agreed to that, even though they're based in Auckland. as they considered the value was such that they would more than compensate for the increased costs in travel.
Jamie, it sounds like people can get some really amazing increases in performance and productivity by using X-Factor thinking with their people in their organisation. So how do our listeners actually make contact with you?
Graham, we have a website, the Foresight website, www.foresight.co.nz. I'm available through my email address. That's jamie.f@foresight.co.nz. And we have an Auckland phone number, 478-4066.
Okay, Jamie, we're just about out of time. Any last words for our listeners?
I'll finish with a little story about 2 8-year-old boys, and it's their birthday. An experiment was set up to demonstrate the difference between X-factor thinking and not using X-factor thinking. And so the two boys were let loose into two different rooms. The rooms were set up with different arrangements. So in one room, there's a boy in a room. It's full of toys, boxes and boxes of toys, gadgets and gizmos, any 8-year-old to give his eye teeth for. And in the other room is a boy with a pile of horse manure. And after leaving them alone for quite some time, the experimenters went to have a look. And in the room full of toys and gadgets and gizmos, was really lit up. It was fantastic. There's only a few boxes have been opened up. Radio controlled cars hit the wall, busted the aerial. There's a cap gun with a trigger lying on the ground and a few batteries lying around. And when they look around, they find the kids sitting in the corner of the room crying. And they went over to him and said, "Well, come on, son, what's up? It's your birthday." And he said, "Oh, they always break down and the wheels fall off and the batteries run down. Nothing's any good." So they left him to it. Now, listeners might be aware of people like that, surrounded by opportunity, but who give up when they run into a few obstacles. Okay, so we've left that boy to himself. Now we're in the room with a boy who's got the horse manure for his birthday. Well, he's gone and found a spade, and he's got stuck in. He's got his shirt off. He's got a sweat up, and he's turning it over to furious rate, and it's all they can do to get him to stop. So they said to him, "Now, what's up, son? What do you got here?" And he said, "Well, I don't know. It's a funny thing to get for your birthday," he said, "but with all this horse manure, there's a pony here somewhere, and I'm going to find it." Now, that's the difference that X-factor thinking can make.
So what you're saying basically is that there's a huge amount of opportunity for all of us and all our organisations, and if we can get our people to develop even a small amount of X-factor thinking, we can get dramatic improvements in performance, productivity, with actually very little effort.
That's absolutely correct, Graham, and there's a huge body of science that has proven that.
Jamie, thanks for your time.